Okay, I guess I got to make an announcement for the men's class. I won't be here. If y'all want to gather, you can. All right? And so it doesn't revolve around me. Although I really think it does. It really does. It revolves around Jesus Christ and His righteousness and His goodness. And there are men here that are able to pick up that torch and teach whether I'm here or not. Amen? Because someday, some great morning, I'm going to wake up in the presence of the Most High God and somebody else is going to be standing behind the pulpit. And you know what? As well with my soul. Amen? Praise God. And so I'm going to open up with another little bit of prayer. I got some great news for you today the Lord gave me. You know, He wants to hear from you.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking about prayer, and God wants to hear from you individually, each and every one of you. His greatest desire is to hear from His, not greatest, but one of His great desires is to hear from His children.
Amen.
And guess what? All my family, right? Right. We've got to reach out to the Lord with the fullness of our heart. Let's start that even now. Dear Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Lord, I come before You even now. I pray, Father, that You would move mighty over us, over this congregation. Father, help us to know You and the power of Your salvation, Lord. We thank You for that. I pray even now, as we're about ready to get into Your Word, as we're about ready to unveil some of the things that You have in there, Lord, speak to the church. Father, let us hear what the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has to say for us, to us in this day and time. Lord, that You would be glorified, that You would be magnified. Lord, that You are high and lifted up. Oh, and Your authority, Your train, oh, it fills the temple. Allow that to fill our hearts, our knowledge, our life, Lord. And we rest in You. And we thank You for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. As I said, God desires to hear from you, so pray. Amen. He desires to hear from you individually, so lift your hearts, your voices, your mind unto the Lord.
Amen.
Over the last few weeks, we've been going over the power of prayer, right? We've been looking at what it means to pray, what it means to have that connection with the Most High God. What Daniel did, that's what started this, is what Daniel did when he was really seeking the Lord. He made some adjustments in his life. He decided to get away from the crowd, right? He decided to turn off the internet. Not that they had that then. But he got away from the noise of society. And he went out to the river of Chebar and he chilled there. And it says that he waited there for 3 weeks, right? He ate no pleasant food. He just kind of hung out there and he was seeking the Lord. He set in his life to seek the face of God.
Amen.
Right? So that tells me in the church today something. The first thing we need to do is when we get ready to pray, let's decide to seek the face of God.
Amen.
His will, not mine, right? His will, His authority, not my will and my authority. To seek His way of doing things and not the way I want things to be done.
Amen.
Because I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, my way ain't right. Amen? Can I get a testimony? Anybody ever try your way? Did it ever turn out good when you went away from God? Right? But when you went with God, when you followed the Lord, didn't it just kind of smooth right out?
Amen.
Amen. And so in that, knowing that and walking in the righteousness of that, that's what Daniel did. And then last week, we kind of talked about the Holy Spirit. You know, when the body of Christ comes together, when the individual who is the body of Christ, the church, goes before the Lord, we need a helper.
Amen.
Right? And Jesus said, I'm going to send you the helper, the paracletus, the comforter, and He's going to be with you. He's going to be in you, and He's going to guide you into all truth. And John or Paul said that He interprets for us. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray, all
right?
Not that we don't know how to pray, but we don't know how we ought to pray. Because oftentimes I pray my will be done. Amen? Anybody got a hangnail like that? All right? Oh, God, I want it my way. I got to have it my way. Right? No. We got to have it His way. We need to be praying for Yahweh, right? The Word of God living in us and on us and through us in such magnificence that the world sees what we're doing.
Amen.
And they glorify the God that we're serving. Amen?
Amen?
And so in that's all part of a prayer life. It's all part of getting our lives and our hearts and our spirit all connected to be in the oneness of the holiness of God.
Amen?
Amen? And when we submit to that, fully rest in the wholeness of God, when we when we really relax in our prayer life and we snuggle up next to the Most High God. Hey, when was the last time you snuggled up to Jesus? Amen. And you cast all your care away and you just said, all right, all I want to do, I want to push through the crowd like that woman with the issue of blood. I want to push through the crowd, and if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I can be healed. Who here needs some healing today? Maybe it's time to start pushing through the crowd, right? There's some things going on in the heavenlies. There's some things going on in this world and time that we're living in. And we've got to get out of our right now and get to where he is. Start seeking the fullness of God in our life. That's big stuff. That's big stuff. That takes time. That takes a desire. That takes a will. That takes a mindset to get there, right? Because it doesn't come easy. Anybody find it hard to pray nowadays? Right? I mean, and really pray? Now, I'm not saying, you know, nothing wrong with asking for stuff, like nothing like that. But I mean, really getting into that private place with God. You know? Into your closet with the Lord. Where nothing else is there. It's just you and God. Right? All of the pressures, all of the noise, the background sounds of the world start to dissipate. And you find yourself in the presence of the Most High God.
Praise Him.
You know that's available for you?
Yeah.
And you know that the Father wants you to be there? He wants you to be there. And if He wants you to be there, guess what? You can do it! Right? Amen? You can. It is available and you can make it.
Yes. Amen.
That's what we're going to talk about today, that you can make it. You can get there in that very place. What we need is to understand who we are in God.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
Who, not who we think we are, but really and truly, what does God think about you? Who are you in Christ Jesus? You are His child. Do you know that?
Amen.
That He adopted you? He picked you out of the whole world. He picked you personally. If you trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, if you heard Him calling your name and asking you to come out of the darkness and into the light, and you say, yes, God, I want that. I want You. I can't save myself. I want You in my life. Guess what He does? He makes a way where there is no way. You know what? He makes an avenue spent just for you through the cross, through His blood, through the power of His resurrection, through the faith, the belief that He is God and you are not.
Amen.
That He can and is able and is willing to forgive your sin, to love you in the midst of the mess. Amen? And it is messy right now. My life is messy. Your life is messy. But God wants to come and smooth it over like a perfectly made peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Right? When I make a peanut butter sandwich, I want the peanut butter to be smooth. I don't want a big glob on one side and no peanut butter. I want it. Just smooth that thing over. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us and our prayer life. We say, all right, God, You're that wonderful Holy Spirit. You are the blob. Now, come and smooth that over on me. Bring Your goodness, bring Your righteousness, bring Your love, and lay that out over me in such a way that I look to You as delicious. I'm going to make you hungry before the end of the day. And so, the Holy Spirit is our connection to the Father.
Yes.
He is that hotline that we have. And if you're old enough, y'all remember Batman? Batman had a red phone, or the commissioner had a red phone that went to Batman's house. Right? And when we're in line in the Holy Spirit, we can pick up that phone.
That's right.
We can pick up that phone and we're never alone.
Yeah.
Right? We can pick up that phone and we have a connection to the Most High God immediately. Amen? Because He keeps that line free. And it's in your heart. It's in your heart. It's in your heart. And it is there and it's acceptable. And all you've got to do is open it up. All you've got to do is pick it up. Pick up the phone and say, God, here I am. Here I am. This is all my faults. This is all my ugliness. This is all my sin. And I want to just ask you. I want to live this in you. I want you to speak to me. And you know what he does? He opens up through the power of the Holy Spirit back to you. And you have that communion. You have that speaking with one another. You have that intimate connection with the Most High God. Wow. Can you get excited a little bit about that? Yet I am excited that God, the one who spoke the world, everything into existence, wants to talk to me.
Amen.
And he wants that because I'm his child.
Amen.
Right? I've been adopted. I've been grafted into the vine through Jesus Christ. And because that's who I am in him, he says, I desire not just to talk, not just you talk to me, I want to talk to you. Not just you telling me your problems, but I want to give you my answer. I want to give you my comfort. I want to give you the what's going to see you through. Amen?
Amen?
Those are the things that God wants to give you through the power of prayer. And it is available. He wants to hear from you.
Yes.
That makes me so excited. And when I get there, can you tell I'm a little excited today? I keep saying excited, excited, but really on the inside of me, it's like a puppy beating himself to death with his own tail. You ever see that little puppy dog and he's just whacking himself with his own tail? That's how my insides are today. That's how my spirit is. He is so excited to let you know that the Father wants you. He wants you and he wants to know you and you to know him. He wants that so much that he sent Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross, not just die on a cross, but raise on the third day.
Amen.
Not just raise on the third day, but also to ascend into the high place. And he came to the earth, Jesus, the Son of God. Now catch this. God, who cannot be tempted in any way because he's God in the heavenly realms. He said, I want the humans to know that I have so much care and compassion for them. I am going to come down. I'm going to become a human being. They're going to call me Jesus, right? I will be the Christ. I will be the Messiah. I will be the resurrection and the life. And I'm going to do that because I love you. God so loved the world that he gave Jesus Christ. He gave his only begotten Son, God, made flesh to die for you. Amen? I want to let them know that I love them so much that I'm coming to be that they can understand that I understand how they feel. Does that make sense to you? Because if you think of God just high in this throne room, he doesn't understand temptation, right? Who can tempt God in his holy realm? So God became flesh, and he dwelt among men to be tempted in every way, just like a man, and yet without sin.
Amen.
Isn't that glorious?
Yes.
He loves you. He wanted to have that communication with you so much that he came and became one of us, that we could be with him.
Thank God.
Amen? That we could be his family, that we could have this connection, this deep love relationship with the Creator of all things. Amen? And he wants to be connected with us. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, seeing then we have a great high priest, that's Jesus Christ, that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast. Catch this. Let us hold fast our profession, our faith, what we say we believe. Let us hold fast to that. That's Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Verse 15 says it this way. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but has in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Amen? God became flesh to be tempted in all ways, just like who here has faced some temptation this week? Amen? Who here has been mad without a cause? Amen? This week, or even you think you have a cause, right? Oh, they did me wrong. Well, I didn't see anybody get hung on a cross this week. And if Jesus hung on a cross and he says, forgive them, they didn't know what they did. Forgive them, they know not what they're doing. If Jesus can do that, so can you. Right? So can you.
Right? He's able and he lives in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's able, so are you. So let's get over all those things that keep us away from the joy that he has for us. Amen? And he says right there in verse 15 again, we have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but has in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Verse 16, let us therefore, because of all those things that are true about God, who he is, how he loves you, let us, because he's done all, therefore, because he did all of that, come boldly. Woohoo! Come boldly. When you know that you can come boldly like that Batman phone, you can pick it up and you can be boldly, boldly in the very presence of God, unashamed, unrestricted with your access to God. You can come boldly into the throne room of God. Amen. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I need that mercy. I need that mercy. I need the mercy more than I need almost anything else except for his grace. Amen? I need his mercy. I don't want his judgment. I want his essence, his being, who he is, his love, his compassion, his mercy. And I can come into the throne room of God and I can confess my sin before God. And I confess who I am, which he already knows, right? And I can confess that to Jesus. Yes, I have sinned and come short of your glory. And you know what he gives me? Mercy.
Amen.
He doesn't condemn me. He doesn't throw stones at me. He doesn't hate me. He loves me. He loves you. And he wants you to have this, I keep saying deep connection. But I don't know if you understand the deep connection that it is. The fullness that he has given you, the mercy that he's offering. Being able to melt into Jesus. What a blessed thing.
Amen.
Just to rest under the sheltering of his wing.
Amen.
Because we're looking, I don't know if y'all have noticed it, but the world's kind of crazy right now.
Oh.
Right? And I need that shelter.
That's right.
I need it deeply. You do too. And we can obtain that mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Amen. So when you go there, when the need arises. Amen. You ought to live in that place of prayer. You ought to have a prayer life that is actually a life, right? It's just not every once in a while, but to pray continually in season and out of season, to pray without season, to have this connection that we're talking about without breaking that connection.
Yeah.
All right? To live every day in a spirit of unity with God.
Amen.
What a blessing it is to be a child of the Most High God, to have that. Now, Jesus, God, became flesh, and he experienced all the temptations. All right? And because of that, he experienced all the temptations without sin. All right? We can't forget that last part. Without sin. And because of that, he has complete victory over the nature of sin. Right? Amen? Do you understand that? Jesus came to do the will of the Father. He only did what he saw the Father doing, and we know that he never broke the law of God. Never broke that. He was perfect. And now he has victory because he was tempted in all ways. Now, here's a neat thing. Who of us have not done that? All of us, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. Nope, not one. None of us are good enough.
Nope.
But God... Amen. But God, he loved the world so much that he sent Jesus. But God, he loves you so much, he wants you to be connected. But God, he gave his Holy Spirit to you that you can have a connection with him. Now, the neat thing is, we know that Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father. Do you understand this little bit that I'm going to tell you right now? That you are in him?
Amen.
Amen. So where's Jesus?
Yeah.
Go ahead and say it. Where's Jesus?
In me.
Right
He's at the right hand of the Father. And we are in Him. So where are you? You're at the right hand of the Father in Christ Jesus. Can I get at least one hallelujah? Amen. Praise God. At least one person be happy that you're in the throne room of God inside of Jesus right now.
And I say glory.
Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God for that. Because He did that. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For He hath made Jesus Him, He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him."
Amen.
All right? Now let's take Jesus or Christ and put that in the part of Him. "For He, the Father, hath made Him, the Son," all right, "to be sin for me." Amen? For you, He made the righteousness of God become sin because He loves you.
Yes.
He didn't have to. He wanted to. No man took His life. He freely gave His life that you might be one with the Father.
Amen.
Inside of Christ Jesus, in the heavenly realms, at the right hand of the throne of mercy. Is it anyone excited over that? I mean, can you wrap your mind around where you are in Christ Jesus right now? In the middle of this horrible fallen world, okay? And God loves you and has you and has a spot for you right next to the Father and inside of Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That is salvation, folks.
Amen.
That is salvation. Let me finish that. Verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ." Amen? How righteous is God? He is all righteous. Alright? There is no shadow of turning with Him. There is no sin with Him. There is nothing but perfection and love and mercy and compassion. Oh, and judgment. Don't forget that. There's the judgment of God there too. All of that is real. And guess where you are at? You are in Him, right by God. You are the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Have you ever thought of yourself like that? I hear so many people saying, "Oh, I'm just a poor, terrible, created sinner, lost in the world." Wait a second, are you born again?
Yeah.
Now, you might be a sinner, but are you born again? So where does God see you? Right here, at His right hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had to make sure I get my rights and lefts mixed up. All right, so right here at His right hand, inside the Son.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
And He sees you right there.
Bless Him.
Glory, maybe?
Yeah.
Glory to God?
Amen.
Glory to God? Amen. This fallen human filled with sin, been made righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ, and I am already resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
I die. Praise God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
Do you know it's available? It's available. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? The door is open.
Yeah.
Right? Anybody who hears the call, who wants it, do you want some of this? Come and get it. The dinner bell's ringing, ding-a-ding-a-ding. All you got to do is walk on in, and He's prepared a place for you.
Yeah.
Why? Why a rotten, nasty, worthless sinner like me? Why? I don't either, sister. I don't know. Because I know me, and I know my own.
Me.
Oh, I thought you were talking about me. I'm sorry.
This is a life of joy and complete rest, because you have no worries when you reach that point.
Amen.
Wonderful. And you get noisy like me.
Yeah. But I love you. I love you so much, sister. You bless my heart. Hebrews chapter 10. Open your Bibles if you'll go there with me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 27. This is going to be some more shouting stuff. Y'all ready to shout a little bit? Amen. Can you get just a little happy? I know that we're all Baptist here. Old faith Methodist. Actually, what I don't want you to put a title over who you are.
Amen.
I want to say that you're born again in the blood of Jesus Christ. That makes you the church. Amen. Amen. And that we're non-denominational, if you haven't noticed. And so, I am born again through the power of God. And he says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, because I'm born again, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness, to the holiest, by the blood of Jesus Christ. Where can I enter in? To the holiest. How can I do it? Through Jesus' death and sacrifice. Through the sacrifice, his death, and his resurrection. I got a key through Christ. And by the new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. Do you understand what he's talking about? The veil that was his flesh? God, the unseeable, became flesh that we might know him.
Thank God.
All right? That we might know the power of his resurrection. That we might know the love that he has. All right? So that's where it tells us right there in Hebrews, right there. By the new and living way, he has consecrated us through the veil to save his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Woohoo! Man, I have a high priest over the house of God. Amen. And yet, do you know that you are inside of the midst of the power of the Most High God?
Amen.
Oh, praise God. Thank you, Justin. Praise God for my salvation.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God for my salvation. Okay, having a high priest over the house, let us draw near. Now, what's that tell you? What's God want you to do? Draw near. Hey, draw near. We have a high priest. We have a way. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Do you hear what God's saying to you just in that verse? Just look at that verse. Let us, the church, let us, the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, with a real faith, an honest, a not turning away, a holding on to the righteousness of God. That grip that he has for you. Are you holding tight? Are you holding tight to the truth of God? Who you are in Jesus Christ? The love he has for you? Have you got there?
Bless God.
It's available. All you got to do is go. All you got to do is believe. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance. Blessed assurance, amen. Jesus, he's mine. And that is what it is. My assurance is in Christ Jesus. It's through his blood. It's through his resurrection. It's through his power. It's through his Holy Spirit. It's through his goodness and his love and his mercy. That's where my assurance is. It's not in my ability to do anything.
That's right.
My only ability I really have is to rest in him.
Amen.
To have that full assurance of Jesus Christ. Amen. And have my heart sprinkled from an evil conscience. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Blessed.
I am a sinner. I do not deserve the place I have with him. I deserve hell and condemnation. That's what I deserve. But God, amen, but God, my two favorite words, the whole Word of God, but God, knowing my sin, while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Amen. He didn't get me better to get me saved. He got me saved, and I got better. Amen. And so that's that fullness, that full, God, my having my evil conscience done away with, having my heart sprinkled with the righteousness of God, having my body washed with the water of his word. Amen. With the pure water. Now you may think of a spring water that you get down at the creek. That's not pure. It ain't pure. You know what is the pure water of God? It is the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have the pure water of God through his word, through the Holy Ghost power. It is pure. It is untainted. It is flowing from the throne room of the Most High God.
And you're able not to just get in ankle deep. Oh, no. You can walk on out and get knee deep in it. Come on. You can get on up to your waist in there. You can get up to your neck in that water of God. And then you can dive on in and swim in a river of righteousness that you cannot get through. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. Amen. I'm going on a bear hunt. That's where my mind went. It is greater than you can imagine. It is deeper than you can go. And it is fuller in your life than you can even comprehend.
Yes.
Oh, the goodness and the assurance I have in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Praise God for Him. Oh, let us hold fast to that. Verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Know who you are in Christ and don't turn back.
That's right.
Don't waver. You've got to take these things that are being spoke to you today and believe them by faith. Hold on to them with the fullness of the Word of God. And regardless of what you see on the outside, know who you are in Jesus Christ and know where you're seated.
Amen.
All right? You are at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Amen.
Don't waver. Don't turn back. Don't turn around. Don't stop. Don't stop till you get enough. Come on. Says, don't... See? Bam! The back of my head, these things just come out. Anyhow, and he says, hold fast the profession, speaking in the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I love that. Because I fail every day. I fail every day, but he is faithful. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's called me. He set me apart. He saved me. He cleansed me. He made me holy. Amen. He's faithful to keep me because I cannot keep myself. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't try. Amen. I need to try. I need to do my best to please Him with my full life.
Amen.
Just because He keeps me and He's faithful, that does not give me a license to do what is unrighteous. In fact, it gives me the ability to stand in the holiness of the Most High God. Amen. Because even though I know that I can't climb that mountain, I have a scarlet thread, like a climber's rope, that keeps me tied to the top. Amen. And though I know my life, everything, my fullness, my weight, everything I am is tied to Jesus Christ. In Christ, in God, at the right hand of the Father, right now I am tied to Him until I make it to the top.
That's right.
You know, well, and I'm going to work. I'm going to hold on to that rope. I'm going to climb that highest mountain. I'm going to do whatever I can to be holy and just and righteous before God. Because someday, some glad morning, when this life is over, oh, I'm going to fly away. Amen. There's coming a day where this unrighteous man that you see before you shall put on the righteousness of God. I will put on the illumination of the glory of God someday. And if you're born again, you can too. Someday this corruption is going to fall off and I'm going to be in the newness of life. I am excited about that. I can't wait.
Amen.
But I will. I ain't going to jump in front of a... What's that old saying? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but no one wants to die today. You know? I want to go to heaven. Amen. But there's stuff I got to do here.
Yeah.
Amen. There's people I got to meet. There's folks I got to love. There's people that I need to show the grace of God to. Amen. And He wants that out of you, out of us. And so... Oh, I changed my page there. I changed my page. Let us hold fast the profession that He is faithful that has promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Now, He's talking to the church now, because the next verse is kind of important. All right? Especially in the times that we're living in. He said, let us, the church, consider one another. I've got to think about you guys. I've got to consider you. That God is in you, right? We might have some differences in the flesh, all right? We might have some differences in ideas, but if you're born again, I've got to consider that.
Amen.
I've got to think about that. You are holy and just. You're sitting in the Father in Christ with me. We're together in Jesus, right? Let us consider one another and provoke. That means I got to gouge you on. I got to provoke you. I gotta get behind you and urge you. Come on, let's love each other. Let's love each other because Christ first loved us. Let's show this agape to the whole world. Let's not strike back, but let's absorb the hatred and return it with love. All right? Let's absorb the darkness and give the light of God back. Let God be in you. Amen? Exposing the righteousness and the goodness that He has for you in this time that we're living in. And this time is evil, it's dark, it's wicked today. Oh, but God. Amen. I don't care how bad it gets here on earth. I got a light in heaven. I don't care how dark it gets here. I got a home in heaven. It does not matter to me what this world's going to do. Amen. This ain't my home. All right. Do I live here? Yeah. Jim Croce sang a song a long time ago. Y'all know Jim Croce?
Yeah.
New York's not my home. Right? This world is not my home.
Amen.
I have a kingdom. I have a righteousness in Jesus Christ. I have a place at the right hand of the Father. I got a place at the table of the Bride of Christ. I am there.
Yeah.
All right? I'm there, and I'm focused on that. I'm not focused on this.
Yeah.
And since I'm not focused on this, I'm not worried by this. I'm not fretting over this.
No.
You know why? Eternal life matters.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Eternal life matters. All the rest really don't.
That's right.
Eternal life matters. Let us consider and provoke each other, one another, in love and good works. Verse 25, put this on your mirror and come to church next Sunday. Amen. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the matter of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Right.
Let me ask you a real quick thing. Do you see the day approaching?
Yeah.
Amen. Can you see it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind, right? And it's closer now than it's ever been. All right? I can almost hear the Father saying, Son, go get my children. And at that midnight cry, the dead in Christ will rise. Amen. That's what I see. I see it happening. He's coming. Amen. We're there. I see it. Do you know that it's here?
Yeah.
I see the day coming.
Yeah.
Are you prepared for that day?
Amen.
Forsaking not the assembly. You go to church. You know why? As Asha said in Sunday school this morning, I need it here.
Amen.
I need it here. I need the meat here. I need the food here. I need the fellowship here. And I'm talking about the breakfast we serve every Sunday. Hint, hint, if you come to Sunday school, there's free breakfast. But besides that, when you come, we are eating the meat of God's Word. We're opening the Bible and we're unfolding it. And we're feeling and experiencing the truth of God's love in the body of believers. Amen.
Amen.
And in that, I want to be here more than anywhere else.
Amen.
I do. And I don't care if we are in New York. I want to be here amongst the body of believers.
Amen.
Assembling together, unashamed, unafraid, filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's where I want to be. How about you guys?
Amen.
All right? You is available for you. Okay, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. See, we come together that I can build you up. I need to exhort you. You need to exhort me. One another as much more as we see the day approaching. I see the day approaching. I know a lot of folks want me to go into that next verse, but that's a different sermon. Jesus talked about praying in this time that we're supposed to continue to ask, to seek, to knock. It's hard nowadays, right now. This is Matthew chapter 7. Good, it's not even 12 o'clock. Wow! Praise God. Because we got communion today also. Okay. And Jesus telling us about prayer, and the Beatitudes, you need to read it, all right? Because this needs to be your attitude, and that's why they call it your Beatitudes. This needs to be your attitude. anyhow, he talks about judging in verse 1 and judge not that you not be judged, and whatever measure you put out, the measure that you meet, it will be measured back to you again. And why boastest thou the mote in thine brother's eye, but considerest not the beam in thine own eye, right? He's talking about those things. And then he comes down to verse 7. And in verse 7 he speaks to us in a deep understanding. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you'll find it. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receives. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, if his son ask for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye, being evil, who's evil? You better raise your hand, you rotten sinners. I love each and every one of us. Amen. We're all evil. Amen. We're there. I'm in the same boat with you. We ain't made it yet, all right? And you being evil. And when we say being evil, we're not comparing with each other. We're comparing with the holiness of God. All right? Because you're probably much better than I am. All right? But when you compare you're much better than I am to the holiness of God, guess what?
Amen.
You ain't made it. Amen. You ain't made it. You then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more shall the Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask of him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. This is the law and the prophets, all right? Then he tells us to enter into the straight gate. Looking at this piece of scripture right here that Jesus is talking about, and he's saying you need to keep on asking. See, often we quit just before the reward comes. Amen? Have you ever had that problem? You know, I wanted, I'm doing, and I got tired. I ain't going to ask for that no more. I'm going to quit. What happens if you quit? All right, you're expecting a 40-hour work week. It's already there for you, but you quit at hour 15. You can't expect to get paid for the full 40 hours. All you did were you only worked 15. All right, God says you keep on. You keep on seeking. You keep on knocking. You keep on asking. Oh, God, but it's hard to pray today. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Oh, God, oh, thank you, Lord. Where's this? It's in Luke, talking about the unjust judge, right?
Mm-hmm.
The unjust judge, all right? Here's... One second, I got to make sure. I think it's Luke 18. Flip over there real quick. Because I might be wrong. I've been wrong before, and I might be wrong again. Luke 18 and... yeah, it's right there. Right in the very beginning. Luke 18. And there was a city and a judge who feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, the judge, avenge me, mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. All right? Now, that's an unjust judge. That's something that anybody in the world, if you keep pestering me, I'm going to do it. Even if I don't want to do it, you pester me long enough just to get you to shut up, I'm going to do it. Right? Y'all ever have that feeling? Right? That's what the judge is saying. And then he goes on, hear ye what the unjust judge saith. And, and shall not God avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Now, did you hear what he said? Right? Did you hear what he said? Don't you think that God is going to answer your prayers, avenge you, answer you? His own elect. You are elected in Christ. Don't you know that he's going to answer you? May not be in your timing. Amen? But what do you got to do? Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Don't quit. Don't quit. Be that squeaky wheel. Sooner or later, you're going to get grief. Right? You keep on. You keep on asking. Now, make sure that you're asking in God's will.
That's
right. Not saying pray for a new Cadillac. Right? Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. That's not what he's saying here. What he's talking about, real deep. Here's a prayer that I know God will hear and he'll answer. Lord, kill the sinner in me.
Amen.
All right? And then I get specific.
God, I don't have victory over this, whatever this. You put this in your life, and that's individuals, all right? I don't have victory over this. Can you help me? Guess what? You'll get that answer.
Amen.
All right, now it might not come today.
Right.
Might not come tomorrow, but you keep asking. You know, it took me a long time to get victory over alcoholism. It took me a long time. But I kept praying. I kept asking. I kept knocking. Right? I kept seeking. And you know what? Sooner or later, I was free. I am no longer an alcoholic. All right? I took the one-step program. I stepped into Christ. It may have took me 12 years to get there. Right? But when I really surrendered to Jesus Christ, guess what? I was free. What Jesus has set free, they are free indeed.
Yes.
Same thing with nicotine. All right? I had a nicotine problem, or nicotine had me as a problem. Anyhow, and I tried to quit, and I took the patches. I found out those little cigarette patches, they do no good unless you smoke them. Yeah. I need it in my lungs. No, and so I finally came to Jesus, and I said, God, I need help. I'm fighting this thing. I can't get over it.
Yep.
And God said, I'm going to give you a secret, son. Don't quit. Just don't start. Because I got a hard time quitting. I do not quit easy. I'm not somebody who will quit quickly, right? But if I don't start, I don't have to quit.
Right.
So every morning I woke up and said, I ain't going to start this today. 5 minutes after, I said, I ain't going to start it now. 6 years later, I ain't going to start it now. I've been 20 years without a cigarette.
Praise
Amen?
Lord.
And you know what? I'm still not starting. Amen? So if you don't start, you ain't got to quit.
Right.
If you don't start, no trouble, won't be no trouble.
Yeah.
And so in that, Jesus is telling us to keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking.
Yeah.
Jesus, and do you know that God hears you? Do you understand that He hears you, that He knows what you're praying? Yeah. And He wants to? There's this example that I picked up out of Scripture this week. Jesus at Lazarus' tomb, right? Something that He said there, and this is in John chapter 11, 40. Make sure I'm in the right spot. Yeah, 11:41 and 42. He says, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me, and I know that Thou always hearest me. Now just think about that, because He's about to call Lazarus out of the tomb. And He says, I'm not praying this for my sake. I'm praying it for all those other people that are around me. Jesus said to the Father, I know You always hear me. Now where are we at?
Amen.
Where are we at? We are at the right side of God in Jesus Christ, right? That's where we are. And if God always hears Jesus, who else does He hear? Where are you at? You're in Christ Jesus, right? And if He always hears Jesus and Jesus knows He always hears Him, is He hearing your prayer? Amen. Amen. Now, He may not answer you right away, but that's okay. I know that He hears me. I know my petition is there. And I know that if I keep on like a squeaky wheel, sooner or later He's going to give me the grease. Right? He's going to meet me and He's going to say, I know, Curtis, I have changed your all. Thank You, Lord, for that. When we pray for God's will to be done in our life and we really start seeking His will, He changes the desire of our heart.
That's right.
Amen? Yeah. And then I can pray the desire of my heart because it's the desire of His heart, and I will receive. Why? Because it's not my prayer. It's His prayer working Amen. Through me. Amen? Amen? Mm-hmm. Who here wants to get some answered prayer? Amen? Amen? Start changing your heart. Put your heart where God is. Amen. And then don't quit praying. Don't quit asking. Be like that widow woman, right? She continually went to the judge and she pestered him and pestered him and pestered him until he said, finally, I'm going to do something. You don't got to pester God because you're at the right hand of the Father. Amen. You're already in Christ Jesus. And God says, I always hear the prayer of my son. That means He always hears your prayer too. But sometimes He's got to work out some kinks in your heart.
Exactly.
Amen? Yeah. Who here knows that God needs to iron some stuff out? I'm a wrinkly Christian. I need some iron, and He needs to put some pressure, some heat on me. Yeah. Right? He needs to get some of the dross burned out of me.
Yeah.
Talking about the righteousness of God and staying in Him. Oh, folks, this is after 12. All right. We got communion to do. We get communion, okay? I don't want to say we got to do communion, but we have the opportunity to come before God and thank Him for what He did and remember those things. We'll pick up next week in John 14, okay? Because this is all in the same thing. Someone asked me to preach on prayer. I didn't realize it was going to be a 5 or 6 week sermon. Ain't you glad I didn't do it all in one setting? Folks, I love you. Amen? I love you. And the one thing I wanted you to gather out of this, if nothing else, God wants to hear from you.
Amen.
He wants to hear
Amen.
From you. He wants you to know Him in a deep and a personal
yes.
relationship. So much that He died on the cross for us. And as we're about ready to take communion here this morning, we need to remember what He did. Because that's what communion is really all about. It's remembering that God loves you so much that He poured His blood out. Oh, go grab my wife, please. Jacob. No, JJ. My son, that's my grandson, his name, Jacob. JJ. And double J. Double J, please go get my wife. And we're waiting for my beautiful bride and the wee ones to come out for communion. Because often, I don't know if y'all have noticed it, I've done communion, and the teacher for the kids is locked in the classroom. She gets just a cup by herself. This is about fellowship. Amen. And we need the body together.
Yes,
amen. Come on out, big girl. I love that woman. I tell you what. She comes into the room and my whole life just lights right up. I mean, and I tell you what, she's like electrifying. I'm sorry. We're going camping. Amen. And so anyhow, Paul tells the church to examine ourselves before we take the communion.
Yeah.
All right? And I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to take this. This is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll start in 27. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread," talking about the wafer, the image, or the remembrance of the body of Christ, "whosoever take this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." All right? Now, what's it take to be worthy? You need to be born again.
Amen.
You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And He also tells us to examine ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that idea that I need to examine me and not you. All right? Because my sin looks a whole lot worse on you guys. Right? It really does. But if I examine myself, as the Scripture says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that that bread and drink that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." They've passed away. They're dead. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged."
Mm-hmm.
Now, thinking about that, and thinking about who you are in Christ Jesus, and thinking about your access you have to God, if you confess your sin, He's faithful. He's just
Amen.
To forgive you that sin.
Amen.
Who here knows that they got to repent from something before you take communion? Amen? All right? I know I do. Let's go to the Lord. You examine yourself.
and Paul wrote, and he said, as I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And so, you can get your little wafer. Oh, yes, you can. I'm so sorry. Get it up here. The pianist always gets forgotten. This is here already. And so as he took the bread and he blessed it, and he said that this was his body. For as I have received of the Lord, which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night which he took the bread, betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take and eat, this is my body, which was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Dear Father, I thank you so much for the sacrifice that you gave for us. I thank you, Father, that as we take this little reminder until you return of the body that was bruised for my sin, Lord, I remember the love that you gave. I remember the passion that you had on that day. I remember the forgiveness that you gave me on the day of salvation because you were broken for my sin. I thank you for it as we take this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name. And after the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had stopped, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Dear Father, I thank you. I remember the blood of Jesus Christ. Every time I think of his great sacrifice, I remember who I am and what you have saved me from. Father, I thank you that one drop of that precious blood has cleansed me from all my unrighteousness. My faith is in you. My love is in you. And we thank you for the blood that you spilt on our behalf in Jesus' name. And we take the cup. And as often as you eat and drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do to show the Lord's death until he comes. Father, we know you're coming. I can see, I see the signs. I know that we're closer than we've ever been before. And so, God, until you show, until we see you, until we're resurrected, until that day, that our body is no longer, and all that can be seen is your righteousness in us. We remember what you did, and we thank you for what you did, and we praise you that you rose and that you saved us and set us apart. We praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And the body said,
amen.
Amen. Praise God. And praise God. I got done stage till next week.
I'll text you.